Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you again, even though I'm not really with you. I'm just sitting in a studio with some of my other friends. Woohoo! Here they are. Later on in the show, you're going to be hearing from Candace as she weighs in on a listener question about friendship as it applies within relationships. And then our culture segment today are the is or are, I don't know, it's an act, but it's two people, Shane and Shane. We caught up with them at the Radical Conference in Louisville and had a great chance getting to know them and just a little bit about them and their stories. And so we're going to be talking with them, and the music this week features them as well, so from their latest project. So, but here we are for the roundtable, and I have some good friends with me here in the studio. Travis Williams is down at the end. Travis?
Hello, everybody.
He is back. He's just establishing himself as a regular here. So,
woohoo!
I know. So
I love you guys. I love everyone. I'd like to thank you. Thank Lisa.
We appreciate you weighing in on the blog as well, Travis, when it comes to your, you know, your comments on shows.
Just comment on the blog. I love reading the comments on the blog, and I love commenting back to you on the comments on the blog.
He sure does.
And then as soon as I comment, then nobody comments anymore. So
that's because you just sum it all up with your wise words.
Let's keep the conversation going, people.
Okay, that sounds good. We have Nathan Pyle. Nathan, welcome back.
Hello, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Very pleased to have you. And a new face to the crowd, Monica Schleicher. Monica, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yay, yay. So Monica and I used to be on the same team here at Focus on the Family until I defected. Okay.
Abandonness.
We'll see each other once in a while. So, okay, well, we are going to be talking. Many of you know that we have kind of dealt with, I guess, in a series type fashion, the world of online dating, and have talked about everything here and on the blog, everything from, you know, 10 things not to do. Travis and I handled that on the blog back in the day for men and women, to creating a good profile, to just generally not being crazy, different challenges that people come across. So today we're going to tackle specifically the challenge of taking an online relationship offline, or what I like to say is taking it into real time and real space. So actually making it the real deal instead of just an odd pen pal relationship, as many people get caught kind of in that vortex. So I want to just chat a little bit about, first thing I want to ask you guys, because each one of you were in the online fray and basically made it out successfully. Travis and Monica met their spouses online.
Woo-hoo!
And as did Nathan, but they're not officially Woo-hoo! Spousettes yet.
Not yet.
So not till the summer. So so hopefully, you know, we're gonna make it with him to the finish line on this one. So we got a few months.
Still trending positively, right, Nathan?
103 days
trending
from this taping.
Okay.
It's trending. Aww. It's trending up. Yeah, I think it's still on the
It's trending up. We'll see how he's doing after this show, what he reveals. So but I wanna ask you guys, when you entered the world of online dating, here's the first thing I wanna discuss a little bit. Was that even a thing for you? Like, did you think that it was even possible that you could get caught, I mean, as people do, get caught in just these pen pal relationships? I mean, what was your vision for online dating when you first got into it? Or did you even sit down and think, how am I going to make this relationship real? I mean, what were your thoughts?
Well, for me, it was the second time I'd done online dating. I think the first time I was a lot more open and positive. The second time, honestly, it was Christmas break and no one was at work. And so my friend and I were just like, well, let's go online and, you know, create a profile. So it was that much intentionality went into it. I had been concerned about, you know, just stepping on God's toes, but I had a few people in my life who said, you know, that's not going to happen. You take Tylenol when you have a headache. So it's kind of the same thing. You're just doing life and letting God orchestrate things if they will happen or not.
Yeah, my intentions originally, I didn't think too much about it. I thought, well, surely if she's out there, God will put her in my life using whatever method he deems logical to do. But the first time I went, I think it was more me. The first time I tried it, similar to Monica, the first time I tried it was just more of a, let's see what's going on out here. The intention behind mine wasn't as strong the first time. And as a result, I didn't really have that great of luck. And I think when you get into it, you're not really prepared for how consumer driven it is. I mean, you can narrow someone down based on their eye color if you really want to, hair color, body type. everything that you really want to. You can go through and say, I don't even like that college that they listed. And it's so easy to find yourself in a nitpicking kind of mentality. I had that the first time around. Second time, faith came first. And I think that made a big difference for me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I seriously used to think of dating somebody online as like the place where the land of misfit toys goes to roam. So I didn't have like this awesome view of dating online. I was super skeptical. I kind of avoided it. It wasn't until I had like, you know, fumbled in some relationships that my brother was like, dude, or it had my heart broken. He was like, you know, you need to check out the online space. And so I was like, that's crazy. And so he said, no, I'm going to pay for you to do it. And then, you know, started in that process. And it was kind of crazy. I won't lie to anybody out there. It can feel weird. But over some time, I learned some strategies through my experience that maybe we'll talk about today to help make the online experience more enjoyable, more fun, and hopefully lead you to meeting the person that God has for you. And again, to Monica's point, God can orchestrate your relationship in so many different ways. And online, for some of our listeners out there, it might be a way that he uses it. It may not be.
Okay. So how long did each of you talk to your significant other online before you said to yourself, I would like to meet this person in person?
We were long distance. He was in New Jersey. I was here in Colorado. So we weren't able to meet probably as quickly as we wanted to. We gave it probably a good month before he flew out here. And when he, it was probably, I think, 2 weeks emailing and then 2 weeks on the phone. And then he bought his ticket and he came like the next week, or it was something along those lines. So, and
that's,
you know,
pretty fast for long distance.
Well, I mean, our thought was, you know, I was nearing 30. He's 5 years older. And so we were just like, we're over the games and we were just very intentional. Mm-hmm. So when we used our online time to really just get down to the non-negotiables and it seemed everything would work in theory. So there was nothing left to do but meet and see if it would work out in real life, too. So
I love how, like, I was working with Monica at the time, and I love how, like, Bill would write, and there would be just these, like, essays. He was just, like, quite the writer and loved to go, you know, loved to talk about politics. And
he was really intentional, and which was great because I didn't want to waste my time. I had already had my heart broken once, and so it's like, well, I'm not going to do that again. So when he asked, when do you want to meet? I just said, as soon as possible, you know. And, you know, so we can know if this is going to move forward or not. It was basically, it was very romantic, my answer, but but I think it worked out for the best.
Very good.
Yeah, I think we were, Nikki and I were a week and a half, about 9 days, I'd say, 9 or 10 days from first email to meeting in person.
Okay.
And I think we exchanged emails like 3 times. In my 4th email, I asked for her number, called her the next day, and we went out that following Friday. I didn't want to get stuck in the pen pal world because it's too comfortable in there. I can jump on when I want, I can say what I want and jump out, rather than having to face somebody face to face, maybe talk about something I'm not comfortable about, maybe talk about something that is more authentic than it would come across. You can't formulate your thoughts as slowly as you'd like when you're in front of someone. So I wanted to move it quick before I got too comfortable.
Yeah, I think just before I jump into how long it took for Devin and I did the same thing. Like Nathan was talking about, when I started, I had no concept. I didn't know how this was supposed to work. And then before I knew it, I found myself talking with this one girl exclusively, and we chatted, and all of a sudden, like, there was like this weird expectation of relationship, you know, and I let it go on way too long. And then, you know, almost a month had passed and we're just almost flirty with each other with emails and stuff back and forth and high expectation of relationship. Then, you know, I meet the girl, she was a nice girl, but I could tell it wasn't the right thing. And it was a lot harder to back away from that. So I set up some rules and some boundaries just for me that I was going, you know what, I'm going to use online dating to meet people, but I'm not going to use it to determine how this relationship goes. And so, if I started communicating with somebody, that was an indicator to me that I was at least interested in that person. And so I would push and be intentional for meeting them outside of the online space, face-to-face, as quickly as possible. So before, when I started online, I had almost the whole geographic area open. I knew that, just knowing me, I wasn't going to spend $300 or $400 to go travel to meet somebody. That was just me. You can do whatever you want to do. So I shrunk down my geographical space so I could go see people. So to make a long story short, when Devin and I met, it was maybe 7 days at the most. Yeah. I said, look, we talked, we communicated, went through all the steps, and then I said, let's get together. And because I knew that she, odds are, if you're online, they don't have anybody to go to dinner with. And you're single and you need to eat and they need to eat. Uh-huh. And as long as you're being upfront, have all your checkpoints and all that, then go have a meal, go grab a cup of coffee, and set the expectation up front. That,
yeah. Which you have the luxury of doing when you, both of you guys, you're, those women were closer, you know, right, within an hour.
True.
Or so. So that
helps.
And to Travis's point, the first time I was on eHarmony was a few years prior to when I met Bill. And I waited way too long to meet a guy. And it was that kind of thing where by then we had filled in the gaps in our head of what, you know, because you meet someone and you get to know their heart, but then you have to also like them in person. Mm-hmm. And we can't, that's important too. Mm-hmm. So when we met in person, it was just like, oh no. Mm-hmm. And but then it was disappointing and it was difficult because we had let that go longer than we should have. So I would also encourage, as much as possible, just meet when you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you guys say, you know, moving ahead then, you decide that you're going to meet. What were some of your expectations going into that first meeting? And then what were your first impressions? Did they meet up to the expectations?
Yeah, I'd say expectations were, I wouldn't say they were high. I try not to get too high because you can't get too low if you're proven wrong. So I just try to ride to kind of a middle ground area. And I didn't want to get, because when they're online, you see their profile. Everything about them is interesting. Oh, you have a cat. Oh, you have siblings. You grew up in America.
You like Coke and flip-flops. Yeah. Really?
You live in the suburbs. You live in the suburbs. Wow. Oh, you like coffee. You like to have fun. Well, movies. So you have to separate that, because at some point you're going to say, it's going to go from being interesting that they have a cat to being annoying that they have a cat if you continue on the relationship. But that's just an example. I love cats.
Or musical styles, cats, as we were talking on the front end of the show.
Yeah, or musical styles. Mm-hmm. It's everything interesting on the forefront. So I went into it thinking, all right, kind of clean slate would be kind of a misnomer, but like, we're starting from scratch on the personal front. Mm-hmm. I know about your background, but I don't want to use any of that to create these expectations that I may be disappointed in, because that's not really fair to them, and I wouldn't want to be judged that way myself either. Mm-hmm. So my expectations were high, and my first impressions were really good as a result, I think, because there had been times where expectations were high. Someone had built them up, a blind date, something like that, family member. Even another online date, and it just fizzled within the first literally 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, this is the only time we'll ever meet, and I'm just glad this was a small cup of coffee and not a steak dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For us, because it was long distance, you know, it was, we had to spend more time getting to know each other, because, I mean, obviously it wasn't worth him flying across the country to meet me on, you know, 2 phone calls. So it was hard for me to manage my feelings and really be careful about not oversharing or not, you know, building illusions in my mind and building up dreams. So I tried to manage that, and I think he did too. But, you know, we knew in theory it would work because we had gone through our non-negotiables. And I think, and I was talking to him last night too, and we both had this as like our advice to give, which would be, it's okay for it to be a little bit awkward in the beginning, because by this point we had talked so much and there was definite interest there. And then you meet each other and it's like, and then you just realize how much more you still need to know about this other person because you haven't seen each other in person. Like, you don't know mannerisms or gestures or anything. Mm-hmm. So for us, I would say that first day was a little awkward. I was a little standoffish. Don't get too close to me. I was a little nervous. And it wasn't until the second day that it really clicked. So I would say, don't get discouraged if your first encounter is just a little strained, mm-hmm. you know, you can work through that. And I would just say give it a little time, because by the second day, everything was like when it clicked and it was wonderful. So
yeah, I would say, too, that, you know, in my experience, one guy who flew out here again, it was a long distance thing. And we had talked for probably 3 months prior to him coming out. So by the time he stepped off the plane, I felt like I knew him. And that ended up backfiring on me, because I basically had to break up with a guy that I felt, I mean, for very fundamental reasons, he was not a good match. That just somehow did not surface. Apparently, I can't talk on the phone and find out things about people. I don't know. Yeah. But so that was a concern. And so I would say that's a good point that you have, Monica, and just figuring out, you know, you really do have to start at square one and realize there are some things that I need to match with who I know about you from online, from on the phone, to in reality. I think that's good.
Yeah, that is a good point, because culture builds it up to be this romantic fireworks immediately because everything clicked online. And it's okay to have that strain, that awkwardness. I mean, think about friends you haven't seen in a long time that you grew up with. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you moved away and you go back to see them. It is a little awkward. You're still kind of feeling them out until you get comfortable around with them again. And I don't think it's any different in a relationship like that.
Yeah. And that's why I do encourage people to, as soon as they possibly can meet, to try to meet, mm-hmm. because why prolong that awkwardness? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have and build things up over time, because at the end of the day, being online is really, it's a tool. It's not mm-hmm. your relationship. Mm-hmm. If you ever do move past getting from online to real life, it's going to be the real life that propels you. Right now, online is so small. I almost hate when people say that we met online, because it seems so, mm-hmm. so in the rear view mirror mm-hmm. for us. It was a tool. I met my wife through online, but I can tell you this, I never think about that. Mm-hmm. I just encourage people when they can. And guys, if there are guys listening, that's where you have to be intentional and lead things and be upfront with gals mm-hmm. on this, because it can be a straining, it can be a weird process. But if you're just saying, look, I don't know where this is going to go, just because we meet does not mean we're going to get married, because mm-hmm. I know some women, there's all these weird expectations. You have to set expectations very clearly online. If you're meeting for dinner, say, look, this is just for dinner, I just want to get to know you outside of the online space. If we never talk again, I know that's going to be hard, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's very, you know, because I've had friends who, you know, who either don't, you know, you could tell when you like a guy or don't like him, or a girl, you know, because you are hesitant to go. Like, I've had friends who have said, well, you know, he says he wants to talk on the phone, or he says he wants to meet, and I just don't know. And I'm like, well, then you need to decide and stop, because just emailing him for another month is not going to help you at all. You know, and it's almost like, you know, don't prolong the agony. And at the same time, I had a friend who, you know, bless her heart, she knew a guy up in Denver and she was here in the spring. So we're talking an hour away. And this guy was constantly like, yeah, I really want to come down there, but I need to get new tires on my car. And so when I do that, then I'll do, or I need to do this. And so I was like, yeah, he is done. You just need to be done. I mean, because you don't put up with the players and with the people that really aren't in it to win it, as right. I say, because it's not going to be ultimately helpful to you, I mm-hmm. think. Yeah. So that's good.
I think a lot of people might not be excited about my strategy on this, but I went out with 10 gals before I met my wife and had a cup of coffee or dinner mm-hmm. with them. But
you did it fast, which was good.
I was very intentional. And mm-hmm. really, truthfully, after doing that, I was worn out. I was like, this is silly. Mm-hmm. God, am I forcing this? Or is your hand really on that? And it was about the time that I gave up on online dating is when Devin popped into my view. Mm-hmm. And here's hope for some people. Hopefully it's not like the way that it should be. But when Devin, my wife, popped up onto the screen, I was like, wow, she seems like trouble. I could see myself like really digging her. But God, I'm going to trust you. I'm quitting online. And so I quit for a month. So Devin stayed in my box for a month before I popped in. And all the time she was wrestling, should I close this guy out? Should I not? And I think we've talked on the show before, it was my mother-in-law that encouraged Devin to keep me around, and I'm glad she did.
You're just lucky she lasted a month. That's all I can say. She could have been taken off the market for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. So.
Plus he had to get new tires on his
right.
car.
Yeah, exactly.
New tires and new knee socks to wear to the date. So, yeah. You know, that's good. Thanks, you guys, so much for weighing in on this. Good thoughts. And, of course, we'll continue the conversation on the blog. Travis will be there for sure.
I'll be there, y'all.
I want all of you guys, all three of you, to jump on the blog and give just some quick, even some practical advice to people, just things about that first meeting, what you would do, what you would do differently, stuff like that. So we'll continue the conversation. Thanks so much, all of you.
Thank you.
We are here for this week's culture segment, and we are taping here at the Give Me an Answer Radical Conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and very pleased to have Shane and Shane here in the studio with us. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I had to bring Martha in here, too, because she knows all things from the Christian realm of music. She's an expert.
So you think.
Well, that's what I say.
I might prove you wrong today.
She is specifically a Rebecca St. James expert. I'm going to say that.
I do
girl
love her.
Girl bands. She loves girl bands.
Barlow Girl, Bethany Dillon. Mm. They're all good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll have
do
to
do you
get
like
in,
For King and Country Now? Do you even know who that is?
No.
It's her brothers. You're
not. Oh, really?
Yeah, Rebecca St. James' brothers have a band now.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
You got to know that.
Well, now I do. Thank you.
Well, that's just compared to me, so that's not saying much. That's why she's okay with it. Yeah, exactly. So, no, I didn't know they had a band. Wow. We just talked to RSJ about her new book. So, and what she was supposed to be climbing into men's minds. Maybe you guys should read that one and see if it's accurate. I'm just saying. She gave it a shot. She had some good stuff. She interviewed some guys. So, okay, first of all, just know that you guys can find, this is funny because when I was talking to Martha about this, you have to share what you said, Martha, about your history with knowing about Shane and Shane.
Well, I actually flew down to Dallas some time ago and wrote an article about them for Brio and Beyond back in the day. So mm-hmm. I got to see their studio area and yeah, I think we even went out for lunch once and yep. mm-hmm. you were wedding planning at the time mm-hmm. and yeah. So, and then I think they're also on some Brio events and stuff, so.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, did you know, you said, like, did you first hear about them when you were in college?
I did. Yeah. I remember they were the cool thing. And I think I was actually, I think, in the computer lab at the time, which I don't even know if they have computer labs anymore in the college. But
who knows? We don't even want to know. Please don't write to us and say that they don't, because we don't even want to hear that. That's just depressing. So.
Yeah. But everyone really liked them. And so that's how I probably started off as a fan.
Yeah. Well, and you guys met in college at A&M. And now we're going to get a million emails from Aggies. Hey, Aggies. You know, whatever. That's how our show rolls. It's like anyone who gets a shout out for anything, they contact us about that.
Hey, Aggies. Yeah, yeah. I like the voice.
I know. Yeah. I go into many different voices during the course of this show. So many of them may be featured. We'll see. But you guys are here. So all that to say, you guys are here at the conference. You've been leading worship for us. We appreciate that. It's been very good. And doing, you actually had a little fan this morning that got to get up and sing. That was good. I appreciated that.
Yeah, we were back in that. We were just getting ready in the green room, and Shane was actually playing. They have a couple pianos in the green room. Evidently, this school has a surplus of grand pianos.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
it's a little
well, that's so that they can audition the women to be pastors' wives. And that's my. I mean, I'm just saying, and this is my speculation.
Okay.
I don't.
There we go. I'm not going just there. I'm not going
that's
there.
That's a speculation.
I'm not going there.
Anyway,
so why was Shane playing?
So he's playing, and they come in, and they're like, "Hey, we're doing a game right now. You guys come out." So I go out there, and they're like, "We need you to play the song." And this is Shane Everett. I don't play the guitar on the songs. Mm-hmm. And so I have to go back in there and I get him and he runs out and he didn't know the rules to the game, which the game was we start the song and then we stop and the guy has to finish it.
Okay.
Kind of like fill in the
Yeah.
That is a game show, right?
Yeah. How does that go again?
The dude told me when I was sitting right, he's like, sing with me.
Oh, he told you to sing with him?
And I was like, okay.
Cheater.
So Shane never stopped singing. And then I go over to Shane B and I'm like, you got to stop singing at some time because I've got the guys over here telling me, okay, this game's taking too long. Tell him to stop singing so he can finish and see if he wins. And Shane's like, I don't know the game.
I don't know the game. Nobody told me the game.
Anyway, so we run a tight ship.
That's what happens with this impromptu craziness that people try to throw you into when you come to these things.
We're professionals.
You are. You know what's going on. So, okay. So tell us, in addition to, and I want to talk a little bit about the music, you guys have won 3 Dev Awards. You've sold more than 500,000 records. You guys have been around for a long time. And this is interesting because you kind of, I think Martha was saying this too, you're kind of associated in some senses with a college crowd. Having started out at college, you play a lot of festivals, obviously, and conferences and stuff like that. Do you guys feel like, I mean, what's it like coming, okay, because you're now out of college yourselves. Okay.
Barely.
You're not old.
Which
you're
is
not
weird because I started college when I was 13.
Okay. Okay.
Prodigy.
So you're now 17, so that's good. But so is it weird kind of going back? Because, I mean, it's like these youngsters, sorry, college people out there in our audience, we love you, but these young people that just really resonate with your music and love it. So it's like maybe your audience is aging, but they kind of pick you up in college and then move along. What's that like?
Oh, what is that like?
I don't know. We never really signed up for it.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, we do what we do and whoever listens to it, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. is great. But we do in a sense, we felt like we never really left college because, you know, at least weekly we're on a college campus and we always have been. Mm-hmm. Since college, you mm-hmm. know, and so it's kind of funny because we got old, older, and
heavens to everybody, mm-hmm.
but it still kind of felt in that same kind of thing, and so we still have a good amount of college people who come, and we play a lot of college campuses, but like you said, a lot of people got old with us, so we have a good group of old people now that.
Older people.
Older.
It's a weird the old thing. People in their 30s.
Yeah.
Super old people. Oh, well, that's good. So you guys have, like, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, fatherhood and stuff, because in that you guys have kind of grown up, you know, over the past decade, and you're both married now and fathers. And Shane B., you married Bethany Dillon, so we know that. And our show, our Boundless, is very passionate about marriage, so that's good. But we do need to say, because we're going to have a lot of women out there who are like, seriously, like, what's up with you just marrying this youngster? So how?
He was.
Tell us how.
that was an interesting first conversation.
Was that just a moment? Was that one of your accountability sessions with him where you're like, I need to know what's really going on with this? Because did you guys meet on tour?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Where were you going?
Oh, Bethany's first tour ever was with us, and she was really
I would probably
young.
Be in jail.
Yeah, he'd be
no,
in jail.
She was
that
like
was
15 or 16.
She was
right?
like 15 then, okay. And then
because I saw her in Nashville at the Gospel Music Week, and it was her. The label was just introducing her. She was one yep. of the new artists, you know, and yeah. She was young.
She was young.
And I feel like that was about 2 years ago, but I know it wasn't. So we're gonna go.
She's 23.
Yeah.
So when we went on tour with her the first time, it was nothing. And then we ended up going on tour with her about 3 years later. And that's when Shane and Beth, which it was actually Sarah Schuss too, got this going. Aaron Schuss' wife.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So they were she was kind of matchmaking on the tour.
No, she wasn't even matchmaking. She was just calling us out.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of other people trying to actually matchmaking leading up to the tour, but Sarah Schuss was ruthless. I mean, she would just it's like she cornered me.
Because you guys were kind of like hanging out and stuff,
well,
and she's like,
know,
"What's up with that?"
We just were like, I mean, at the time, neither one of us had ever really felt like this was ever going to be anything, and there wasn't like flirting or. But you know, you're on a tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really the only, like, legal co-ed dorm situation mm-hmm. that, you know, and it happened touring. It just happens. And it's, you know, you're on that tour, there was 12 people, and you're just all within 100 square feet. all the time for months on end.
Yeah, you playing checkers, doing
checkers is
a lot of checkers, Chinese checkers.
Yeah, and so those bus games.
Yeah, but we both knew that there was a really deep sense of care for each other. I don't know that at the time it was just like, if there wasn't this age gap, I would marry this person tomorrow, and she's going home and telling her mom, there's no way this ever would happen, but if it could, I would marry this man tomorrow. You know.
So that tour tour happened though, and that they never even talked about that. Nobody ever talked about that except for Sarah Schust on the bus. You know, and they approached me about it. And I was like, no way. So I was saying no way from the beginning. I was like, they're just friends. I mean, and they didn't hang out. You know, it's not like they hung out or took walks together. I mean, we're all like, you know, just there. And then when we got back. It was probably a month after we got back from tour. You know, Shane was living in an apartment, and we were out at the pool at his apartment just hanging out one day, you know, just and by the pool. And he's just like, what do you think about Beth? And I was just like, what do you mean? So anyway, but that was like the first time I'd heard about it, you know. And some people had said something, but I was just like, no, that's not happening.
Was
but,
he saying he wanted to fill out one of those MASH things, like where you do, you know, hand the
note
and then you check hand the
note.
Yeah, and you
hand
figure
the
out
note.
What
hand
will the
note.
Future look like. So how did it happen, Shane?
It probably took me, I never really counted the months, but a good 7-8 months to just really work through my fear of man. Is what it came down to. And there's that crosses over a lot of areas in my life, but that was one main one. And Lord, am I willing to do this? And you know, follow what I really felt like he wanted me to do. But I wasn't about to just date an 18-year-old girl from Ohio casually. I just wasn't going to do that, you know. Yeah. Like that person, I hate that person.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Shane is not a dater. He never was a dater. So, for us, I mean, a lot of our friends.
Because we hate all casual daters.
You do?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't just the super casual ones.
He didn't date girls, even in college. I mean, he didn't. He went out with one girl for a couple of months, you know, and then he was just like, I just don't feel like this is it. So he broke up with her. And since I've known him for 13 years, 14 years almost, like that had never, he had never dated. He doesn't date. He never went on. Oh. I mean, he never went on dates.
Okay.
Much less. Well, it's kind of sad.
This picture is just getting more. It's,
sorry. I do really love my wife.
So.
There's no struggle going on.
One of our best friends, Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler is. Matt and I used to have talks because we were like, he might have the gift. And so those were conversations, but he didn't have the gift.
No, I didn't. I think, you know, I, for some reason that early on, I had a really big pet peeve with all of my friends who would date girls and not really care about them, you know. And so I just have a little bit of a pet peeve about that. So there's probably some pride mixed into that. But anyway, it took me about 8 months to get over this, you know, like – Can I really do this and persevere? And just a series of very actually uncomfortable random events 8 months later led, you know, Beth and I to a conversation that we had. And after that conversation, we dated for almost a year, which the first few months were excruciating for my pride.
Okay.
Very difficult. Those months led up, and probably really good. They were really great for me in my heart, but they're just excruciating for my pride. And then we were engaged for almost a year, and then we've been married for 4. So,
all right.
A lot of really cool little girl on the way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah. But it has been, I was thinking, I was actually thinking about Beth today. You know, I think maybe somebody was talking about being the body of Christ yesterday. And I was just thinking about my wife she is like, you know, as some people would be maybe the, the hands and feet of Christ, and you know, Shaney would be like the spleen of Christ. My wife is the heart, you know, she is the very heart of Christ, and so it has been, it is, I'm really glad that, you know, 12 years didn't make the decision for me to not pursue this person, you know, so
yeah,
very blessed.
Okay. Shaney, you're a dad.
I am a dad.
How's that? How do you balance that?
I don't know. You know, I don't think anybody, I didn't know how much work it was being a dad. And so I think, you know, like I thought I was tired before I was a dad. Now I really know when I'm home what tired is. Because we kind of have a weird life anyway, because we're kind of by nature of association night owls, even though we probably don't really necessarily want to be. So when I go home, I have a hard time sleeping at night, but my children are no respecters of time or space. And so it's, you know, like I'll still go to bed late, but that, you know, at 6:30, I mean, it is on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so my wife, she takes up the slack a lot of times, you know, helps me out. Yeah. But
I think that's just a big wake up call for parents.
Yeah.
Schedule.
Yeah. Scheduling. But man, it is just the greatest thing ever. You know, I mean, I just can't believe how much you can love something on the earth like you'd love a kid. You know, it's a whole new thing. I've said it before, but it's just like I feel like it was the first time I grew a heart, you know? Like I just don't know if I felt the way that I feel before I had a little girl, you know, and she's amazing, and now we have two, and the other one's completely different than the first one. She's a bruiser. My first one's a girly girl.
Okay.
And so this new one is very just kind of mad all the time. So we're trying to figure that out. But she's sweet in her own way.
When you go on those daddy dates, though, with her, don't refer to her as a bruiser.
I won't. Okay. She's only almost a year and a half
okay.
now. Which is,
okay.
So she just kind of yells at me, and she doesn't really like me very much yet. And I do love her, but she just doesn't like me yet. I'm like, let me hold you. She only lets me hold her when mom's not around.
She will headbutt.
She'll headbutt you. She'll throw stuff.
It's a sweet headbutt, though.
It's a very sweet headbutt. You try to kiss her, and she's like, she turns her head down and like
kiss the forehead.
Kiss the top of my head.
Kiss the head.
No, she's amazing. No, for real, we are just ecstatic about these babies and love them, and it's been a transition, you know, of figuring out how to do life and how to be married and how to do scheduling and how to be a good husband and be a good dad and how to be a good friend and be a good dad and how all these things kind of interwork together takes a lot of, I mean, just thinking about and journaling and talking and late nights with my wife and just like, you know, just we're on the road just like everybody else, just trying to figure out how to do it and love the Lord and, you know, and make decisions. We're talking about school now and how that works and how to care about a kid's education or what's too far or do I just send them to the public school or oh, goodness.
That's like a whole other
thing. You know, and so it's just like, I mean, there's all of these things that are new, it's our new normal, you know, and the new normal is met with a lot of dependence and question and prayer, and it's a whole new season and ultimately I think it all boils down to, man, it's just kids are just, marriage is the first step, kids are the second step to learn how to die to yourself and realize it's just, man, it's just not about you. And I think the more we go through life together, I mean, I think that's just the more we understand, and it's just a beautiful picture of what the Lord, how he allows us to be a part of this story in a way where it's just like, man, the flesh is just going to get, where he's just going to beat it out of us, you know, in a loving way, you know, if you're seeking him, you know, and if you want to do it biblically, it just takes work and it just takes time and it takes energy to try to parent the way that the Lord calls us to parent, how to love our wives the way he calls us to, and how to love our community the way that he calls us to love them, you know? Yeah. It's crazy.
So how is this season of life informing your music then? I mean, because it's one thing to be guys in college who are hanging out and writing songs and stuff, but now you've got a whole new wealth of experience to draw from. So what does that sound like for you guys in the past couple years and then where you're going from here?
I would say a lot of our music is similar. Just because when we first started, I think it was just that, you know, we were both business majors with practically no music or arts anywhere to be found in our background. And so,
well, A&M isn't a huge music school,
right,
from what I've heard. Yes. So it's not where all the, you know,
opera
stars go.
Man, I can chew a horse like nobody's business.
Yeah, Shane can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think back then it was like, I don't have anything to say, so I just opened this book up and literally word for word put some music to this stuff, and that kind of worked. And now we've grown in the Lord, because we were both new believers. Shane newer than me, but I was still a new baby believer. There's really nothing else we have to say. I just opened this book, and then I think the only thing that's changed is our audience changes a little bit, and now, you know, we have a little bit more time to devote to spiritual things, which is awesome. Because for a few handful of years there, maybe 8 years, we did close to 300 concerts a year, and so and we didn't have any team or anything. So all of the things that take to set up all of those 300 concerts and get there and set sound up and lights up and all that. So it's pretty crazy, you know.
Wow, yeah.
So the actual spiritual side of it was a really small piece of the pie, and you know, I wish it wasn't, but that's just how it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So songs would come out in a stairwell at 3 a.m., you know, and time with the Lord was just—I mean, it would be like I can't even, you know, we faint as we come across the door in the house, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm going to the mountains. I got to go, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It would just be stuff like that, you know. And now, we tour still a lot, but a lot less, you know, more than half less than we used to. And so we have time to devote to writing, and we're plugged into a community, not just our families, but just a community of believers. And so writing happens the same way in that, I open up the pages of the Bible, and that's really the only place I've ever really gone to write songs. But now, you know, my daughter comes to mind when I read a passage, you know, or we walk with about 30, 35 music students on a weekly basis. And so, you know, Brandon will come to my mind, or Jason will come to my mind, or David will come to my mind. And so, you know, now there's like, Lord, instead, and not just what do you want to say to me? It's like, what do you want to say to them? And so there's a little bit more of a pastoral mm-hmm. Thing kind of happening, you know, but I'll still just go into the only thing we got to say, which is Jesus.
Good. All right, everyone. Well, you can find out all things Shane and Shane. I still think it's crazy that you guys met at school and decided to start writing and performing music. And it's like, I'm Shane. Oh, yeah, well, I'm Shane. And, you know, it's not like you're John. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was John and John.
John and John.
But, you know, Shane isn't even that super common. Maybe it is at A&M. We'll have to do some research on that.
I don't know if it is.
I know. Okay. Well,
it's pretty popular in Texas, crazy. I think.
Okay.
I think because of the movie. I was literally named after, there's a cowboy movie called Shane.
Oh, yes. Okay. I only know that because of my brother-in-law. He's a big fan. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And my dad, who was a John Wayne type of figure, named me after Alan Ladd, who was Shane. And I think that happens a lot, probably. Maybe that's why there's, because we know a lot of Shanes.
We used to have a drummer named Shane.
Oh, my
God. And it was just three of us, just three Shanes.
Three Shanes.
That's,
yeah.
So,
how weird is that?
That is weird. That's very weird. So,
yeah, I have a question. Is your drummer now from the David Crowder Band?
Yeah, because Joey's out, and so
okay.
B-Wack is filling in Jeremy Bush for a few weeks.
Joey, okay. our drummer and his wife had a baby 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been out. So the last two weekends, Jeremy's
filled in.
He's, I mean, it, over the years, they're just good buddies. We've
just been
ours.
Great buddies with him
cool.
for a long time. So
that's fun. That's good. All right. See, I told you, Martha even knows drummers from random bands.
He's hard to miss.
He's
to miss. Yeah.
He's
no, I'll tell you who's hard to miss is David Crowder.
Well,
that guy.
Too.
When I've been around him, like you turn around and you're like, whoa, he scared me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like 7 feet tall, first of all. And then his glasses and his crazed out hair. I was like, not sure what's happening about with that, but it's good.
He's 7 feet with the hair.
Maybe that's true. Yeah.
He's 6 feet. Six, hair.
Okay, that's probably true. So, well, thanks so much, you guys, for joining us for the session. Great to meet you here. And again, thanks for being part of really part of the worship and session time. It's been really awesome. So, thanks much.
It's our pleasure.
My pleasure for sure.
Every week I hear a story of a miracle. And if I'm honest, I'm tired of seeing on it all. I don't need to see a dead man come alive. All I want is you to fill me up inside.
We are opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace with me. Candace.
Lisa.
Hey.
two questions that we get to do face-to-face.
I know. Great to have you here. So it's fun. Well, we've got a good one for you today, and I will go ahead and just launch into it. This listener says, I recently read in your article, When He's Not Asking, that women ought to raise a new standard of no intimacy, friendship, or otherwise without the commitment of serious dating toward marriage, and I became perplexed. I thought that being friends with a guy, even though you are not interested in him, was okay. In fact, that's all I have, is guy friends. How is it possible to only single out one man to be friends with when I'm still trying to find out what I want in a future spouse? Also, how am I to know I want to date or marry a guy if I don't establish a friendship first?
Okay, well, let's just say that you have to remember the context that that article was written in. The question that that column was answering was from a woman who was in a very intimate friendship. So much so that the people in the church were referring to the guy as her husband and joking about how they were definitely a couple. And so my comment to her about no intimacy, friendship, or otherwise was really to her situation. I am not saying by any means no friendship with guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the short answer. You can be friends with guys.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think how we are friends with guys, if we are in Christ, should look different than how women in general in the world are friends with guys, because we know that, you know, just the average Jane walking down the street might have friends with benefits, might be hooking up, might be certainly flirtatious in ways that are suggestive and alluring. And all of these things ought not to be so for women who are followers of Christ. Lisa, part of this conference has been the call to holiness, and especially in the area of sexual purity. And Kevin DeYoung did such a great job talking about that and saying that the standard is that we treat young men as brothers in all purity. And so I think as long as your friendships are characterized by brotherly love and you are not joking coarsely with them and not being coy with them and toying with their emotions and trying to get a rise out of them, trying to arouse them just for fun, and two, not being so intimate that people around you will look at your friendship and say, oh, I wonder if they're dating. That's what you don't want, because you're not learning how to be a true friend in that situation. You're not being sacrificial and truly loving in a biblical First Corinthians sort of way. You're actually being pretty selfish and getting emotional needs met and just kind of toying with the guys.
Yeah. Well, and I especially think for women who don't like a guy, they can easily use a guy for as a, you know, they'll say, oh, well, he's just a sounding board or he's
right,
whatever. But it leads to emotional intimacy and just the amount of time expended. Again, I mean, it's like they should learn, you know, you've told your story so many times of people. Who's going to think that you're even available if you're giving so much more time to a guy that ultimately isn't even in the picture?
You know, I often say don't act married until you're married. And I think people often hear that in the context of romance and sex and dating and all that. I think the same thing holds true for friendship. Steve Waters is my best friend and we have an incredibly intimate friendship. It's a marriage friendship. And you shouldn't have friendships like that with men who you're not married to.
Yeah.
So the key word in that article is intimate, not friendship. Friendship is good, But friendship that is biblical is very different from the kinds of things that we've been discussing.
Right, yeah. And remember that when guys are going after that kind of friendship too, then you kind of have to put up a few boundaries, I think, as well. So ladies, if a guy wants you to help him pick out paint colors for his apartment, just say, no, you have to marry me first.
That's right.
Oh, speaking from experience. No, just kidding. Not specifically on that. Anyway. Okay. Well, that...
Moving right along. Anyway,
I will set up my personal counseling session later in the afternoon. Okay, that is it for this week's show. Hopefully you will write to us at editor@boundless.org with a question in the future so we can answer it. And in the meantime, I want to thank Candace for being part of this session, again, in person.
You are so welcome. And anytime you want to come to Louisville and do a live Q&A, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Right here from Dr. Moeller's studio as well. So very exciting. That is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of boundless.org. Focus on the family. We'll be right back.